The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
In our last sessions in systematic theology, we discuss what the Holy Spirit's works are in the Old Testament times. It included regeneration, selective indwelling, and restraining of sin. Hi, my name is Mark, and I'm your host from Systematic Theology at Riverside Baptist Church in beautiful Southern California. And it's my prayer that you'll be blessed with this study. In this study, Pastor Christian will talk about the Holy Spirit's work in the ministry in the New Testament church. Let's get our thinking caps on and worship the Lord with all our minds and be equipped with biblical knowledge of the work of the Holy Spirit of God in the New Testament church.
Now tonight, Lord willing, we'll be discussing the Holy Spirit's gifts given to the New Testament church of Jesus Christ. So I want you to turn your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First, we will be talking about the definition of spiritual gifts. The definition of spiritual gifts. There are two Greek words generally used to describe spiritual gifts. The first one is what you see here on the screen, pneumatikos. Pneumatikos, meaning spiritual things or things pertaining to the Spirit. The word emphasizes the spiritual nature and origin of spiritual gifts. They are not natural talents, but rather they have their origin in the Holy Spirit. They are supernaturally given to a believer by the Holy Spirit of God. Look at verses 1 and 2. Now, concerning pneumatikos, that is, spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be unaware that there are these spiritual gifts given to you if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then look at verse number 11. But all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally, that is individually, as he will, or as the Holy Spirit determines. So that sense of the word here, the spiritual things, things pertaining to the Spirit, they are having the origin from the Holy Spirit Himself. The other Greek word which describes the Holy Spirit's gifts is the word charisma, which means grace gift. This emphasizes the gift is given by the grace of God, and it is not naturally acquired, nor it is a naturally developed ability, but rather a gift bestowed on the believer by God's grace. Look at verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12, 4. Now there are diversities of charisma, gifts, and they are given by the same Spirit of God. I want you to turn to Romans now. Romans chapter 12. What is the emphasis given from this text of Romans chapter 12? The Apostle Paul discusses the charisma here in Romans chapter 12, and he stresses this idea that spiritual gifts are received through the grace given to believers. Look at verses 3 and 6. For I say, through the charis, or grace, given unto me, the Apostle Paul, and then to what? To every man that is among you. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Hey, this is not yours. Meaning, you did not develop this. It is given to you by the grace of God. So, don't be thinking highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think soberly, seriously, because God, according to His determination, He has given this to every man. And then look at verse number 6. Having then charisma, or gifts, differing according to the grace. Again, the emphasis here is that this is grace gift. This is given by the grace of God. So then, a concise definition of spiritual gifts is simply, this is a grace gift. And a more complete definition is that this is a divine endowment of a special ability for service upon a member of the body of Christ. Secondly, tonight, let me introduce to you a couple of concepts here that are involved in spiritual gifts. First, a spiritual gift is given to an individual for the purpose of personal spiritual service. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to, what's the next words there, class? Every man severally, that is, individually, as he will. So this is the first concept that we need to understand, that it is given to an individual for the purpose of spiritual service, for the purpose of personal spiritual service. And secondly, this gift, or the spiritual gifts, are given to the church as a whole, as a local body. What is given to the church? Persons who have gifts specific and uniquely theirs. Persons who are uniquely equipped for the church's edification. That is, the building up of the believers in Christ. And maturation, that is their growth in Christ, that is their growth in the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ, that is their sanctification, their maturation in the Lord. I want you to look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. What do we see here in chapter 4? I'll have you know that the Apostle Paul has this style of writing, which is in the first two chapters of his book, he lays out doctrine, pure doctrine, teaching. This is your doctrine. And then in the next two chapters, he lays out for us, this is how you ought to respond to the doctrine. This is now your duty. Okay? In this case, Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is composed of six chapters. So in the first three chapters, he lays out for us doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. In the next three chapters, he lays out for us duty, duty, duty. In other words, here is proper theology. Here is good theology. Now you practice it. And in chapter 4, we're given that, how to practice the things which he laid out here in chapters 1, 2, 3. And he begins with instructing the church of the gifts that are given to the church. Look at verse 11, 12, and 13. And he, that is Jesus Christ, gave some, here's that idea here of grace giving, grace gifting of the spiritual gifts. What did God give to the church? God gave to the church apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That's one and the same, pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. That is to equip the members of the body of Christ so that the members can do what? For the work of the ministry. In other words, these uniquely equipped individuals are given to the church of God so that these uniquely equipped individuals will train the members of the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. You got me? Look at verse 12 again. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then we move on to the third explanation here, sort of a refinement of what you just heard about spiritual gifts. What I'm not saying is the following. A spiritual gift is not a place of service. It is an ability. It's not a location. For example, someone might say to me, Pastor Christian, that person over there has a real gift for working in Skid Row. That person over there has real gift for working in the slums. Well, this is not a spiritual gift because you're talking about a location of service. It may be that that person has the propensity, or he may have a level of comfortableness to work in that kind of work, to work in a rescue mission in the heart of Skid Row, Los Angeles. But I'm saying that it is not a spiritual gift because a spiritual gift is not about a place of service. It's not about a location. The scripture is talking about this ability, a spiritual ability. Another example, one might say to me and say, Pastor Christian, that person over there, she has a real gift for working with teenagers. That is our senior citizens, senior saints in the church. Once again, that is not a spiritual gift because you're talking about a place of service. You're talking about an age group ministry. The scripture is talking about a specific ability that is given by the Holy Spirit of God for the believer. I want to say this to further fine-tune our understanding of spiritual gifts. We want to be able to make a comparison. And the third line there on our monitor, a natural talent. We're not saying that a spiritual gift equals your natural talent. We're not saying that, okay? A comparison between a spiritual gift and a natural talent comes in this manner. Natural talents come from God through your parents, right? If you have parents who sing like Pavarotti, you more than likely will have that talent too. But I know of kids too who can't sing anything. Their parents sing lovely, but they can't sing. That's natural talent. Spiritual gifts, on the other hand, are given by the Holy Spirit independent of your parents. Okay? Did I ever tell you that I'm an introvert? I would rather bury my nose in a book than socialize with people. I get a headache when I socialize with people. Pastor Christian, you're a preacher. You're a pastor teacher. Don't you have to get up 3 or 4 times during the week to teach? Exactly my point. I may not have the talent of an extrovert person, but I've been given the gift of preaching and teaching the Word of God. Another comparison that you can think of is that your natural talents, you get them. When do you get them? You get them at the natural cycle of conception and fertilization and development inside your mother's womb. You get it right there. But the spiritual gifts are given probably at the time of your conversion. When you've realized some things about yourself, that you are a sinner before an almighty God, and that you realize that you are heading in a eternal destruction, condemnation, for the wages of sin is death. And that death is spoken of in Revelation 21:8, that is the lake of fire, which is the second death. And when you realize that, you're desperate for a Savior, and then you hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ was the one who was sent by God to earth to live a perfect life and to die for the criminal. And you realize you are that criminal. And He died a substitutionary death for the ungodly. He was buried and rose again the third day to prove salvation. And upon that moment, you realized all this. You repented of your sins and put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in Him that He had accomplished that which you cannot accomplish at all. You cling to Him and you believe in Him and obey Him, meanwhile repenting of your sins on an ongoing basis and forsaking your sins on an ongoing basis. This is just not a one thing believing mental assent, by the way. And you continue to believe in Him at that moment of conversion, repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, The Holy Spirit baptizes you in union with Him and baptizes you in union with the church of Jesus Christ. At that moment, you're given a spiritual gift or gifts. The question tonight, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is this. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? That's the question that I exhort you to ponder and search the Scriptures and ask the Holy Spirit of God to show you. Open your eyes, illuminate your eyes, give you insight, and so that you can be a benefit to the local church of Jesus Christ. Now, lastly this evening, I want to introduce to you the gifts that are listed for us in the Scripture. Don't worry, we'll be done by midnight tonight. I'm just kidding. All right. Apostles, prophets, miracle workers, healers, tongues, kay gihigugma gayud sa Dios ang tibuok kalibutan, busa iyang gihatag iyang bugtong anak, nga kung bisan kinsa nga mo tuo kaniya, sila dili malaglag. But my kinabuhing dayon, I've just given you what tongues is. It's not gibberish. It's an actual language that I just told you. That was John 3:16 in Visayan, in Cebuano. The tongues that's spoken of in the Bible is not this gibberish thing. It's not that. It's a real language or dialect. All right? And then, let me pause here and talk about this for a little bit. I have displayed for you the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the Church of Jesus Christ, meaning they were given for the purpose, for this purpose. And specifically, these five that I've listed here. For the purpose that the church might be powerfully founded. For the purpose that the church might be powerfully attested to. For the purpose that the church might be authenticated by these supernatural phenomena. These are the gifts of apostleship. Prophecies, miracles, like for example, Peter striking Ananias and Sapphira in their morning and evening worship service there. They lied to the Holy Spirit of God. Peter struck them with his words. They died. That was a miracle. Philip teletransporting from Samaria. And in an instant, he found himself running alongside a Mercedes-Benz. No, the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch on his way from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia. That was a miracle. Paul striking Elimas blind The Apostle Paul again getting bitten by a poisonous viper and not succumbing to death. That was a miracle. And then healing. That is healers. That is people who are agents of healing. And then tongue, of course, that is real language speakers. These were the gifts to the church. Listen now, for the founding of the church, for the authentication of the church of Jesus Christ, who himself was the one who promised that he will build the church. And he used these gifts to individuals to build his church. He founded it mightily, indeed, by the apostles, by the prophecies who predicted things to happen, and happenings did occur according to the accurate prophecies. Jesus founded and authenticated his church by miracle after miracle, and healing of the sick after healing of the sick, even raising some from the dead. Again, for the purpose of what? Founding the church, authenticating the church, validating the formation of the church. You're still in Ephesians. I want you to look at chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 20, and you see exactly and clearly what I am talking about when I say that these gifts right here, the apostles' prophecies, miracle working, healing, tongues, are foundational gifts. And I think some of you know where I'm going with this. Look at chapter 2, verse 20. The Apostle Paul, of course, is talking about the identity, the real identity of Christians, that they are saved by grace. They've been reconciled into Christ. Christ is our peace. And then he makes a comment about the household of God. That is to say, the church of God. Look at verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of what? The apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Question for you. Do you add to the foundation? Do you add to the foundation of this building? No. Neither do you add to the foundation which was already built in and put in by Jesus Christ himself using the gifts of the Spirit. And so here's my contention. Here's my argument. These gifts have ceased. They are no longer operational today. Because you don't add to the foundation. Now, I want to say something about the gift of healing. The gift of healing. It's important to make a distinction here between the gift of healing. And when you look at that word there, healers, we're talking about agents. We're talking about personal agents of healing. And I'm going to give you a perfect example about that in just a moment. There is an individual involved, that is to say, a person with the gift of healing. And we need to make a distinction of that from healing itself. And what do I mean by that? Let me ask you a question. Or theoretically, you ask me the question. Pastor Christian, do you believe that the gift of healing has stopped? Yes, I do. Pastor Christian, do you believe that there are no more faith healers today? Yes, I believe that. But Pastor Christian, do you believe that God can heal still today? And the answer is, yes, I believe that. And so you need to make a distinction between the agent, that is a person, a human being, who has been given the gift of healing, that has ceased, that has stopped. But the God who heals is ever alive. And that's why we pray for healing. And I want to leave you with this. In the book of Acts, we have a perfect example of this. The book of Acts, chapter 9. The book of Acts, chapter 9. The context here is that the man by the name Saul, whom we know today as the Apostle Paul, he had just become a Christian. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and he was introduced to the apostles there. And the apostles, they in turn gave him the hand of fellowship. At the beginning, they were scared of him because he was a terrorist to the Christian. But now he had been saved, had seen the light and repented of his sins, and he's become a Christian himself. They extended to him the hand of fellowship. And then in chapter 9, we have in the verses 34 and following, the writer of the book of Acts, the beloved physician, Luke, he mentions here a couple of things which are relevant to our discussion here this evening. Look at verse 34. And Peter said unto him, by the way, this is Peter, visiting the village of Lydda. And as he's going from house to house, he noticed something. In verse 33, he'll tell you that he found there a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years. So he had been sick for 8 years. He was sick of the palsy, that is paralysis. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ, make thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And what happened, folks? He arose immediately. This is what I'm talking about, a genuine agent of healing, the Apostle Peter himself. He had been given by the Spirit of God the power to heal. Do we have anybody like that today? No, otherwise you would see hospitals emptied. Right? You would see CNN with no statistics on their board. Right? Now, here's the distinction that I'm making. Look at verses 36 and following. Now, there was a Joppa. Apparently, he moved from Lydda now to Joppa. A certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas, this woman, was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Verse 40. Peter said to Dorcas, touched her by the hair, and said, arise! Did he do that? No, he didn't do that. What did he do? Look at verse 40. Peter put them all forth. Hey, all of you, please get out and kneel down. And he did what? Prayed. Prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. The distinction I'm making here is that in Lydda, Peter was the agent of healing. Here in Joppa, he merely prayed to the God, who is the great physician, and God directly healed and raised up Dorcas without having to use an agent of healing, that is Peter. Amen? Now, I want you to look at these gifts that are available to the church today. Evangelism, pastor, teacher, service, helps, the gift of faith, the gift of exhortation, the gift of showing mercy, the gift of giving, and the gift of administration. Hey, the question that I asked you earlier is the same question I'm going to ask you now. Do you know what your gift is? Do you know what your gifts are? If you don't, I encourage you to look at the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit of God which gift or gifts He has given you so that you can be a great benefit, not to yourself, but to the church of the true and living God.
I hope and pray that you've been blessed by the content of this study. If you have any questions about this session, please call our church office at 951-687-6106 or visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com. My name is Mark, and I hope to see you again next time on our Systematic Theology at RBC.